Alrighty, we're back with another edition of the CTV show. We're officially 1 month into the NFL season. Thomas Pogranik and Christian Catanacci back as always. Cat, how was the weekend, man?
You know what? It wasn't too bad. I was able to get my stressful night over with on Thursday, so I was watching Sunday stress-free. But it was a good week of football. I enjoyed it. There was a lot of scoring this weekend, like a lot of scoring. I think there was only one team outside of the Broncos and Jets game, but there was only one team that didn't score more or that didn't fail to score more than 14 points, which I think doesn't really happen too often. I was watching Red Zone. I had games on the TV, and it felt like every single second there was something happening. But it was a good week of football for sure. I enjoyed it definitely.
There were a lot of close games for sure this weekend too. A lot of games decided on that last drive. My fantasy team got its first win of the season, finally.
There we go.
So we managed to salvage something there. 1-3. You know, hopefully this can be our turning point. But yeah, all's good. My Dolphins are in action tonight. So you said you got your stressful night over with. That still awaits me. And if it's anything like it was last week, I'm not looking forward to the game, which is just going to start here in a couple of hours. But yeah, can't believe it's already been 1 month into the season. On last week's show, we talked about teams that should be panicking. This week, we're going to do something a little different. Everyone's got some interesting records right now. And if you told me a month ago that the Commanders would be 3-1, or the Vikings would be 4-0, or the Bengals would be 1-3, I really wouldn't believe you. But that's just a very, very small sample size. So we're going to decide whether some of these early season surprises are contenders or pretenders. Are they going to be able to keep things up, or is this all just a facade? Is it just a 1 month little blip, and by December we're going to say like, yeah, remember when the New Orleans Saints were steamrolling everyone in the first 2 weeks? They are nowhere near the playoff picture, which is possible because they're now sitting at 2-2. But let's get right into it. And you know what? I feel like we should start with your Dallas Cowboys, because you mentioned it. Stressful night was over with. That was by no means a pretty win against the New York Giants. They did not have a lot of the ball. They could not get the offense off the field. And it was just really that the Giants could not convert. And now you guys have picked up some injuries. So your Cowboys at 2-2. What's the assessment so far on the season? Contenders or pretenders?
No, we're not contenders. I think if I'm trying to just look at this from a non-biased point of view, I genuinely think the Cowboys will finish anywhere in between 7-10 to like 9-8. I think 9-8 is like their ceiling at the moment.
Really?
Well, sure. Like, you're going through your biggest stretch of games, right? Like, I'll pull up their schedule right now. We talked about it on the show last week, and you got to now factor in that one, you don't have Micah Parsons, and two, you don't have DeMarcus Lawrence. So your defense was already pretty non-existent. And now you're going into the most important stretch of your season, which is on the road to Pittsburgh, at home against Detroit, on the road against San Francisco, on the road against Atlanta, at home to Philly, at home to the Texans. And then again, you got the Commanders to top it all off in Washington, who knows, we'll get to them later on the show. But that's a big stretch of seven games here. And to sort of go through those with arguably two of your top three or four players on defense, like, that's very, very tough. And you mentioned on Thursday how ugly of a win that was. If we play any just half decent football team that knows how to score touchdowns, like, that game's over. Like, we get killed, right? I left the Thursday's games with way more questions than I had in the previous weeks. Definitely not confident in this team at all. I'm going to see how they come up in Pittsburgh. I'll be there this weekend. I don't know why I'm spending money on this team to go watch them play, but you know what I mean? They only in Pittsburgh every 4 years, so why not call it crazy? Or every 8 years. Call it crazy, but I don't know. The Cowboys haven't had an ugly season in quite some time. Like you mentioned, three 12-win straight seasons. It seems like this is going to be one of those seasons that it's going to get ugly. I don't know how ugly, because they still have good players, right? Like, Dak's going to keep them in games. Lamb will keep them in games. Their offensive line's going to continue to get better. I wish I could say the same thing on the defensive side of the ball with Micah Parsons, DeMarcus Lawrence, Trayvon Diggs, but It's a banged up defense. It was a defense that was already playing very poor. I think this Cowboys team is going to struggle within the next month or so and find themselves too far back in the race to catch up, even though the schedule does ease up towards the end of the year.
It's crazy you mentioned if the Giants were just a half-decent team, they would have lost that game. It's so funny because the Giants have played four games this season, and in two of those four games, there's been a team that could not convert with a touchdown and just kicked field goals. One time, that was the Giants, and they lost 20-15, five field goals. The other time, that was the Commanders, and the Giants still lost the game. The Commanders just, what did they kick, eight field goals, yep. Seven field goals that game?
Seven field goals.
Giants scored three touchdowns and lost. The NFC East, to me, has become one of the most intriguing divisions all of a sudden with the resurgence of the Commanders, with the struggles of the Cowboys and the struggles of the Eagles. And then the Giants, they don't seem like they're necessarily a walkover like they were maybe last year. And I think Daniel Jones has actually been pretty good so far this season. But I will ask you this. Would you, like, do you feel more confident in the Cowboys right now or the Eagles?
I definitely feel more confident in the Cowboys, but that doesn't say anything. The Cowboys, 8-9 might win the division. I genuinely think so. Like, you look at the schedules, Washington probably has the most favorable schedule, which I don't want to talk too much about Washington because we'll get into it, but, like, I don't know. Philly's 3-10 and they lost 13 games. Like, the Cowboys aren't that bad, but I don't think the Cowboys are very good either. So, who knows? It could be sitting here and Washington could be winning the NFC East in a couple months. And I don't even think that's crazy to say, but I don't know. I don't know. Who do you think?
Let's get right into Washington right now. Washington Commanders, they're 3-1. Their offense has been, dare I say it, and I don't even think this is a hot, their offense has been the best offense in the NFL so far this season.
Yeah.
They have not turned the ball over.
Outside of that one game against the Giants.
Yeah, which was, well, even then, they didn't turn the ball over.
No.
They were efficient on their drives. The really only game they struggled was the first game of the season against the Bucs. But they've been super, super efficient in terms of taking care of the ball. Jaden Daniels' completion percentage has been outstanding, and now he's just starting to push the ball down the field, and he's doing it effectively. They're not punting, and they're just not making any mistakes, which for a young team just baffles you. You think that they're only going to get better. They score 42 points on the road against a Cardinals team that I feel like everyone had some higher expectations for this season. Yeah, you got to see a bigger sample size, but to me, if we're playing contenders or pretenders through 4 weeks, I'm calling the Commanders a contender. I think that they can easily take on Dallas. They can take on Philly. They've already beaten the Giants. I think they can win this division.
Yeah, I'll even take that a step further, Pac. I think if Washington was playing either Philadelphia or Dallas tomorrow, Washington wins the game. And I can say that with confidence. Look, I sat on this podcast and I said that Jaden Daniels' ceiling, and I got so much slack for this, is a better Lamar Jackson. And Lamar Jackson's a great, great football player. But Jaden Daniels, not only can he rush the ball like Lamar Jackson, he's got an incredible arm. Like you mentioned, he is pushing the ball downfield with ease. He's confident when attacking the sidelines. And that's the most impressive part. When you look at a young passer, the ability to, like, that's risky, right? It takes a lot for a quarterback to overcome pushing that ball from sideline to sideline, right? Like, to really get that ball in there. It takes a lot. And not many people like to attempt that. But Jaden Daniels looks like a vet. Like you said, 82% completion in four games. He's got seven total touchdowns, only one turnover. Like, he is unbelievable right now. And he's playing his way to the clear favorite when we're talking offensive rookie of the year through 4 weeks. Like, there's no doubt about it. Caleb Williams played good last week. But, like, Jaden Daniels is taking this league by storm. And we've seen what rookie quarterbacks have done for teams before, right? And they can really, really rejuvenate you. So I'm with you. I'm calling the Commanders a contender through 4 weeks for sure.
We love to talk about odds on this show. Our friends at PointsBet, NFC East winner right now, and this might surprise you: Philadelphia Eagles, the favorites, -112. Dallas Cowboys, second favorite, +220. The Washington Commanders are +300 to win this division.
Value. So
I like, there's some value. I get it. It's a long year. Maybe they can't keep this up. But from what I'm seeing, this doesn't appear, everyone loves to talk about the 2020 Pittsburgh Steelers. This doesn't give you the feeling of a team that is just barely winning games and not really dazzling. And I know the Commanders, they don't have a very good defense. The secondary specifically can be had against a very, very good quarterback. And the Bengals proved that last Monday. But even then, it just did not matter because their offense is just dominating right now. I'm calling the Commanders contenders too. I feel like I agree with you a little bit with the Cowboys, but part of me has just seen so much success in the regular season from Dak Prescott and this offense that I feel like they'll figure it out, and I feel like they will get to the playoffs. Like I said, there's so many divisional games still that have to happen for us to see this.
Yeah, and Dak fares pretty well in his division. Like I said, if there's going to be a reason why this team's playing postseason football, it's going to be because their quarterback, despite, for whatever reason, still 2023 here, and we have people...
2024.
Boom. See? We're so far on into... Dak is the second oldest NFC quarterback in the NFC. He's been in the league for so long. And we still have people just off these awful, blasphemous takes. It's mind-boggling to me. And I get it. People want to make money. And when they talk about the Cowboys and the hot takes of the Cowboys, usually with their quarterback, I watched it with Romo for 15 years. But it's absolutely blasphemous to me. So Cowboys Commanders down. What about the Vikings, Pac? That's probably one of the biggest surprises so far. When you're talking Sam Darnold is 4-0 through 4 weeks. Like, if I told you this in August, I said the Vikings with Sam Darnold were going to be 4-0 to start the season. What would you have said to me?
Man, like, I obviously didn't forecast them being this good, but I have always liked Sam Darnold.
Same with me.
Really liked him coming out of USC. Never thought he got a fair crack in New York. I also don't think he ever looked as bad as some of the other draft busts we talk about, like Zach Wilson and Josh Rosen and sort of that type of career where they just looked completely unfixable. I feel like he had his moments at times. He was just really in a bad, bad situation, both in New York, both in Carolina. He never had a receiver like Justin Jefferson before, and he is on fire with him. He's gotten in the end zone every single week. But to me, what's most impressive about these Minnesota Vikings, and I know Sam Darnold, he's thrown a ton of touchdowns. He's efficient. He's not really turning the ball over. But this Brian Flores-led defense has been outstanding, and I watched a lot of this in Miami, and that was never the problem with Flores when he was the head coach of the Dolphins. He always got more out of the defense than was expected, and he's so creative with the different looks that he provides the quarterbacks and how he makes them struggle. But these Vikings now have a win against the San Francisco 49ers and in Lambeau Field against the Green Bay Packers, and I get it. Jordan Love is coming off an injury. He hadn't played. He looked very rusty. They got off to a slow start. But hats off to these Minnesota Vikings, because you are now in the driver's seat going forward. You have picked up a big, big head start on the season. They're going into London now to play against a struggling Jets team. They're favorites in that game. And it's just like Sam Darnold's a favorite for comeback player of the year right now, and he deserves all the credit in the world. And he's finally showing why he was so highly touted in 2018. It just, some guys, it just takes longer.
Yeah.
Some guys, they don't succeed in the first stop. And Baker Mayfield is, you know, he was taking two picks before him. He's on his fourth team as well. He's also thriving. So it's just like, it's been a unique year of these quarterbacks who are on their, you know, fourth chance by now, and they're playing great.
Yeah, and I think this is the perfect example of why the landing spot matters so much for these young quarterbacks. And like, Sam Darnold went to a Jets team that was like the laughing stock of the NFL, right? And he just got thrown into the fire and said, you be our savior. You go drag this team that didn't sniff the postseason in who knows how long, right? And now that he was able to bounce around from team to team, he got that year in San Francisco to really sit and back up in a really good system, learn from a good head coach, good just organization. And now he gets his shot in Minnesota. Heck, this is a Minnesota team, too, that drafted J.J. McCarthy so, so high. Like, what the heck was going to happen now? Like, it's crazy because Sam Darnold's playing himself into a contract extension. If he plays this good, we could be talking about a Geno Smith situation, and people don't remember how much money Geno Smith got. Like,
and people also don't remember that, like, going into that season, Seattle was mocked by everyone to have the first overall pick and be the worst team. It was, you know, it's this pointless quarterback battle of Drew Lock and Geno Smith, and whoever wins it is just going to kind of be thrown into a tire fire for 16 games before they take someone first overall.
For sure.
We could definitely, if he keeps this up, and I know, like, we keep stressing on this episode, we're only 4 games into the season. Like, you need to see a longevity of this sort of success, but the way he's playing right now is just incredible.
Yeah, I think, you know what, it's crazy that we both brought up that Geno Smith situation, because I really think those situations kind of mirror each other, how crazy, like, people predicted the Vikings to be really bad this year, right? And just like how they did with Seattle a couple years ago, and Geno Smith, the guy that was once a New York Jets quarterback, went to somewhere else and found great success, and now we're going to see with Sam Darnold. At least I hope he keeps it up. But for the sake of the episode, I'm also going to say that the Vikings are contenders. I think they, like, from all three phases, offense, defensive, special teams, their head coach is fantastic. Brian Flores is doing a great job. Sam Darnold's not turning the ball over. The offensive is incredibly efficient. The defense is awesome. I don't see a flaw in this team right now. Now, will they go 17-0? No. But this is a team that, in my opinion, now has postseason aspirations. And I get it. It's September 30th, right? I 100% get it. I'm not going to just go in and say Minnesota Vikings are the favorites to come out of the NFC. But I think this is a team that, as long as they continue to get better, even slight strides, like they don't have to go and continue to blow teams out of the water. There's no reason for me not to believe that Minnesota won't be playing meaningful football in January this season.
Loving what I'm seeing from the Vikings. And I feel like I said, I was a big believer in Sam Darnold. That was a team that I can confidently say that I was higher on most going into the season. And what better way to pivot to a team that very, very quickly in the season, I was telling everyone how I was incredibly wrong about these guys. The New Orleans Saints, you start off 2-0. One of the best offensive starts we've seen. Derek Carr was incredible. Come back down to earth with a very, very tough performance against the Eagles. Sloppy game. Both teams should have lost that one. And now you're in a tough divisional duel against the Falcons. You lose on a last-second field goal. But you were in it. It was tight. And also, the Falcons had a special team score and a defensive score. So it was an unfortunate loss. They're 2-2. Contenders or pretenders, again, the NFC South has just become a storyline this year that we did not expect in terms of, you know, teams just being fun and a division that actually has some life.
I'm stressless with these Saints, because you know what I mean. Look, they had me, Pac. I was about to say, you know what, maybe this team is legit.
Nope. Yeah, I'm with you.
Nope. They're exactly who I thought they would be. Maybe not. Maybe I didn't think they would have this great offense.
I'll apologize on that, because I'm still going to say they're pretenders, but they are definitely better than I expected.
Yes, I predicted them to win four games.
I think they can win seven games this year, and I think that they'll be in every game. Like the game we just saw against Atlanta and the game we just saw against Philly, to me, that's more of who they are truly, which is some weeks you're going to win by a field goal, some weeks you're going to lose by a field goal, but you're going to be a tough out. And I think Derek Carr looks a lot better. The offense looks better than I expected. But to me, they're still pretenders. I wouldn't take them to win the division.
No, I'm not taking them to win the division. I think the Buccaneers are much better. I think the Falcons are much better. So what? They beat up on the Panthers, and then they got hot. They beat the Cowboys. I'm not fooled by the Saints team. Again, I'll give it to them. Clint Kubiak, you're doing fantastic. You'll do great as a head coach there once Dennis Allen gets fired, like Pac mentioned earlier in the year. But the Saints, I don't want to hear it no more. Soon, give it two to three more weeks. Our power rankings will have you back in the 20s, and we won't have to hear you again. All right, so pretenders for both of us. Bye-bye, Saints. Your favorite team now. Actually, wait. One other team, because we mentioned just now that we're going to stick in the NFC for one more team. And we're going to go with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, led by the one and only Baker Mayfield. My Baker Mayfield. I am the leader of the Baker Mayfield stan club.
You predicted this when he was on Carolina.
No. Because Carolina stinks. That's why. It was not a Baker problem. And you're seeing it right now. Actually, you're not seeing it right now, but we'll save that for a different episode. Baker Mayfield has these Buccaneers playing out of their minds. And the fact that they just lost, we're just going to ignore the fact that they lost to the Broncos last week, because that doesn't matter.
That was a bad showing.
Doesn't matter. These Tampa Bay Buccaneers are for real. I'm telling you why. Baker Mayfield plays with confidence. They've got a great team too. Like they've got a two-headed backfield now with Rashad White and Bucky Irving, who is running incredibly well. Their offensive line's very solid. Mike Evans, Chris Godwin, just great weapons to have, as consistent as they can be. But this defense is much better than people give them credit for. And I know they haven't had the best outings and, you know, whatever. People like the Broncos just went in there and beat them. I get it. This Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, is going to be a tough out. And why are they a tough out? Because they play physical football. Baker Mayfield is a man possessed. He is playing out of his mind, and he did it last year. This is the Baker Mayfield that, in those first 2 years in Cleveland, this is the Baker Mayfield. That, how he got kicked to the curb, and he wears it on him. That's why I like this Tampa Bay Buccaneers team, because they play with so much passion. And when you watch Baker play, he may not be the most talented guy on the football field, but he is going to keep you in every single game. And that's why, for the sake of that argument, I'm taking Tampa Bay as a contender here.
We talked about the intriguing odds in the NFC East on PointsBet. The NFC South, they've got the Bucs favorites, plus 175, Falcons plus 180, Saints plus 190. So it is just so, so tight at the top of who's going to win this division. And yeah, I think that's pretty accurate. My one thing with the Bucs and why I'm going to call them a pretender, because I just don't think you can trust them consistently week in and week out. And maybe I'm being too critical on them for losing in really, really tough fashion to the Denver Broncos at home. But I just feel like they need to show just a little bit more consistent high-level play. Because to me, it feels like when they play a good game and they beat a good team, it still feels like an upset, rather than just, you know, this is the Bucs and this is what they do, because they tend to have those games where they come down to earth a little bit. This Thursday, though, Falcons-Bucs, already going to be one of the great games of the season, I think, because both teams have just been so interesting right now, and I think the Falcons are another cool story. They're sitting at 2-2, though. We're not going to talk about them today. Let's move over to the AFC. We got three teams to cover. Start off with the New York Jets. They're 2-2. Week one, don't look all that great. Kind of get beat down to the 49ers. Week two, you get your first win with Aaron Rodgers. But again, it's against the Titans in a game that was probably closer than it should have been. Week three, it looked like, okay, these guys are finally putting it together. And just when you feel like they have this perfect opportunity to be 3-1, they go out and they lose a game in which the opposing quarterback had negative passing yards at halftime, and you lose 10-9, and you can sell me on the conditions of the game, whatever. To me, it boils down to the fact that on the offensive side of the ball, this is a very, very poorly coached football team. And yes, Aaron Rodgers can dazzle with a couple plays a game, and he throws a very, very beautiful ball, but that only gets you so far.
Yeah.
And the fact that Alan Lazard right now looks like the best receiver on the team, and that's the connection with Rodgers, that to me, that's a Green Bay thing. That's just them two going off of what they know from Green Bay. I know where to find you. We have a good rapport. Everything related to coaching and building something in New York, I just have not seen it yet with this team. And I think they're one of the biggest disappointments of the year so far.
I think the way that they lost and the body language that was showed on that sideline was a little bit concerning. Because if you just told me that they lost the game, whatever, it was pouring outside, Denver happened to win, and so be it, move on to next week, I would probably sit here and say, you know what, the Jets are going to turn it on. But the way I saw their players moping on the sideline after that game, Aaron Rodgers had his towel over his head, like it was crying. It's like, dude, it's the fourth week. Like, that to me is the perfect, just to piggyback on what you were saying, it's the perfect just example of a team that doesn't really have faith in